Time for our weekly political panel. This week we are joined by RNZ's political editor Jo Moyer and New Zealand Herald political editor Claire Trivett. Good morning and welcome to both of you.
Good morning.
Okay, so we had a short week, obviously. Still no shortage of political drama, with one of the big stories of the week dropping on that Wednesday evening as we headed into Anzac Day. I'll go to you first, Jo. I'm talking, of course, about Melissa Lee and Penny Simons being demoted Lee dropped from cabinet, but losing their portfolios. What did you make of how the Prime Minister handled that?
Yeah, look, I think this was a situation where Christopher Luxon decided he was going to nip things in the bud early. I mean, he had seen what has happened with both Labour and with the Green Party as well in terms of letting some of these issues drag out. You know, I'm thinking the sort of long list of ministers that you saw cause issues and get given second chances by both Jacinda Ardern and Chris Hipkins and then inevitably ended up having to go. The Green Party has obviously been criticised this year already around its handling of Gowries Gardenman and Darlene Tana and dragging those issues out. Christopher Luxon probably took one look at that and thought, let's just get this sorted, because the headlines were bad and they were continuing over and over again. There was also the possibility, I guess, that if he didn't nip things in the bud early, that if it carried on, it would end up being his reputation that would end up, getting caught in all of this as well. And anything that played out in the future would extend to him and his leadership. So, the fact that he went in early, got in early and got it done is probably going to work out better for him in the end, but it also sends a message to the rest of his National Party ministers that, you know, bad performance, lack of performance is a sackable offence now. That, of course, won't extend, though, to actor New Zealand First, who he doesn't have the same sort of ability to discipline, I guess.
No, is that a sort of signal to those other members of the Cabinet who aren't members of his party that he's trying to set a standard there? Because 5 months, that is, that's harsh.
Yeah, I mean, it does create a threshold, doesn't it? Because it sort of says, well, this is the sort of performance or lack thereof that leads to losing your portfolios, and in Melissa Lee's case, being dropped from cabinet. But, you know, what does that mean for behaviours or commentary from other ministers and other parties who, you know, it will fall to Winston Peters and David Seymour more so to deal with their ministers in those areas. That's always what has ended up happening with coalitions is, you saw that with Jacinda Ardern. And she never got involved with New Zealand First ministers at the time. It was Winston Peters who dealt with it. So when you set a threshold like that, but it can't apply to everyone because of the makeup of your coalition, that becomes pretty difficult to navigate as well.
How will Paul Goldsmith go in the role? We've talked earlier about it being a tricky one. We've seen many people struggle in the portfolio, and of course the troubles continue, they escalate.
Yeah, well, Paul Goldsmith started off fairly well, primarily just by doing interviews. He hasn't said much, admittedly, which is fair enough. He's only had the job for a couple of days and he's over in London doing other stuff, but he didn't seem to suffer from Melissa Lee's concern that if she didn't interview, it would be boring, at least. Mm. So it's good that he started off that way. He's got a pretty level head on his shoulders, and he's got kind of a background in kind of commerce roles and stuff like that, which possibly helps a bit quite well with dealing with one of the sectors of commerce, which is the media.
Yeah, so, sure, because, I mean, Melissa Lee had sort of often talked about the fact she'd been a journalist in a past life, but the troubles of the media go beyond, what the media is creating. It's those settings of sitting above that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the business setting of them, really. So, yeah, we'll see how he goes. But, I mean, I wasn't surprised that Melissa Lee got moved on from that role. I mean, she'd been the opposition spokesperson for 6 years, and apparently she had come up with a policy, but National had never actually put it out, so clearly it didn't pass muster with the top of the leadership team for them to be willing to campaign on it. I'm not sure what that would have even said, and that's part of the problem she had, is that when the trouble started hitting the fan, nearly swore on RNZ, when the trouble started hitting the fan, she... she didn't have a kind of policy to lean back on, really. So now it's left to Paul Goldsmith to look at what is happening around there, around Fair Digital Trading Bill and all the other kind of settings, and see what he comes up with. I don't know whether he'll get much further than her on those lines, because it is kind of the whole National Party, the whole government has to agree with whatever they do. So, but, at least he's willing to take it on. Well, he may not be willing. He may have just been told he was willing. So, yeah.
Before we move on, I just wanted to ask, Simon Watts, as part of this reshuffle, has been moved up into Cabinet. This is the first time in how long that a climate change minister has actually been in Cabinet. Is that big news, or will he be able to do anything?
Well, it was James Shaw who wasn't in Cabinet but didn't seem to be too disempowered by not being in Cabinet. They would always go into Cabinet when they were talking on a climate change issue. Simon Watts, like Penny Simmons actually, are both 2020 crew. So he's considered very capable. He is quite capable. He did well in opposition in the 3 years he had there. I would say that promotion is almost more merit-based than portfolio-based. It is almost Luxon will see it as a bonus that he's in climate change, because it kind of sends a message really that they do have climate change around the cabinet table for a government which is coming under fire on the environment and climate change measures. So a bit of a kind of double reason there for him to move up.
Simon Watts was just really unlucky to miss out, I think, in November last year because of how many New Zealand First Enact ministers they needed to bring in. He would have been in there anyway. He's close with Luxon and Luxon rates him. So, and like Claire says, it helps with sort of get rid of some of that criticism that's been going on about climate and environment type issues not being at the cabinet table.
Just on, if we move on to fast track consenting, Chris Bishop releasing the 200 stakeholders in the dying hours before the consultation closed. Shane Jones says it's all about mining. How have the government handled all this, Claire?
Yeah, I think they're aware that it's starting to get a little bit messy. So there's been a fair bit of criticism of the way they've set up that fast-track consenting in the past couple of weeks. Submissions are now closed, but there'll be oral submissions during the select committee process. So Chris Bishop's gone on the front foot a bit and has written an opinion piece which is in the Herald this morning, in which he's put out his sales pitch for the fast-track consenting. He's chosen in that to emphasise the housing projects, the roading projects, the renewable energy projects, and downplay the mining stuff, which has become a problem for them because Shane Jones, one of the consenting ministers, keeps banging on about mining and drill baby drill and stuff. So there started to be a perception that it was all about opening the way for mines popping up all over the country. Bishop set out the reason for cutting the red tape, which is basically $1.3 billion spent every year just on paperwork for consents, holding things up, projects that New Zealand kind of needs. And he's also indicated in that they are willing to bend on some of the things that people are finding the most objectionable. He said some of the response has been overblown, and I suspect by that he's talking about the kind of core Greenpeace and those environmental groups' responses, but he said some has been more reasonable. If he thinks that all the criticism is coming from what he might consider the Greenies, then he needs to read those submissions, because there are quite serious concerns raised by more eminent people such as Simon Upton, the minister who actually was the architect of the RMA in the first place and is Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment, and the Auditor-General and the New Zealand Initiative, all of whom have questioned the ministers having the final decision-making on that, pushing for stronger conflict of interest steps and more transparency around the lobbying that might take place and what links ministers might have, and for ministers to have to specify the reasons why they might accept a proposal or, you know, reject the expert panel's recommendations or whatever they do. So I would say that those areas are kind of roundabout where we might see the moves from the government to tidy it up a bit.
I think the conflict stuff is going to be interesting, though, and we've already seen this play out a little bit with Thomas Coughlin had a story this week about that, and where you've got sort of part owner directors of some firms who have been approached as part of these stakeholder groups, and, you know, donations to Shane Jones and New Zealand First. You've had Chris Bishop talk on the record about the fact, of course, there's going to be conflicts of interest in this space because it's New Zealand, you know, hello, 0 degrees of separation to anyone or anything. But I think going forward, that is going to be problematic, because in this industry area, there are going to be donation issues when it comes to parties and ministers, and there's also just going to be relationship issues, and they're going to have to work through that, and that stuff is going to end up in the media, and they're going to be fighting fires on it as well. So it is going to be quite a difficult one, I think, to navigate over the course of the term as to how they sort of be seen to be transparent, but also deal with some of those conflict issues too.
It'll be a fascinating one to watch. Thank you so much for your time. That is our weekly political panel. We had RNZ's political editor Joe Moyer and NZ Herald political editor Claire Trevett.